This happened back in the late 1980s and really isn't very dramatic, but I am convinced a ghost was messing with me. So here it goes. Let me preface this by saying, one, I'd just broken up with a super gaslighting type boyfriend who was in a very fragile state of mind, and I needed just to take some time to be by myself to heal. And two, I had a session with a psychic about 5 years earlier who told me that I needed to be in a place where I could hear water flowing. But really, I'd forgotten all about that until much later. So, upon moving out of the condo I had shared with my gaslighting boyfriend, I found this super cute apartment in Greenville that was on the second floor of a 100-plus-year-old mill building. There was a breakfast place downstairs, and a police station was just across the street. It was directly adjacent to a river, and there was a small dam right outside my window that basically made a waterfall. The ceilings were about 15 feet high, and the windows were giant. Lots of light filled the space, and the sound of the waterfall was so relaxing. It was only one bedroom apartment, but with the ceiling so high, it seemed much bigger. I fell in love with the place immediately. The day I moved in, I was by myself. I didn't have a lot of stuff, and the situation with the ex-boyfriend had isolated me from my friends. There was a stairwell that ended up at a door that opened right into the street. My car was parked right by the door. I was running up and down the stairs, moving boxes and stuff from my car into the apartment. I left my keys inside on the kitchen table. So I'm trudging up the stairs, carrying a box, and go for the doorknob to my apartment. The doorknob turns, but the door doesn't open. Turns out it's locked. Now, before you say you locked yourself out, let me tell you about the door. There is no lock on the doorknob. The only way to lock the door is to lock the deadbolt, either by twisting the lock on the inside or by using the key from the outside. There was no way just to close the door and have it automatically lock behind you. The next important thing about this door was that there was a rather large peephole cut into it, a couple few inches in diameter. There was a paddle on the inside that could slide left or right to open up the peephole or shut it for privacy. I managed to slide the paddle aside with my fingers and tried to reach my hand inside to reach the deadbolt. I couldn't get my arm far enough inside to reach it. I didn't know what to do. This was a time before cell phones, and I didn't even have my landlord's phone number with me. It was probably scribbled on a piece of paper in my pocketbook inside the apartment. I had no way to contact him or anybody for that matter. The apartment next door was empty, and the breakfast place was closed for the day. The only thing I could think of was to ask for help at the police station. So I trundled down the stairs, stepped out, and crossed the street to the police station. There was a couple guys inside, looking a little bored. It's a small town. I told them about my situation and asked if they knew how to contact my landlord. They did not, so I asked if they could maybe help me break into my apartment. They looked at each other, and one of them said, "No, but I know someone who can." This sounded a little ominous, and I have to admit, I was a little scared when the officer took me out to his police cruiser and drove me a short distance across the village up a hill to a small house. "This is his house," said the officer. We both got out, and the officer knocked on the door. A young man in his late 20s opened the door. He was a little person, stood about 4 feet tall. The young man and the officer seemed to know each other, and after some greetings and small talk, the officer introduced me and told him about my situation. He asked if the young man could help me. He said he could. So we all got into the cruiser and got back to the police station. We headed to my apartment. The young man opens the door to a closet that was in the hallway near my apartment door. "It's not there," he says. "There used to be a bucket there." The officer asks, "You need something to stand on?" The young man nods. "Can I hold you up?" asks the officer. The young man agrees. So I want you to imagine the scene. A little short guy being carried by a police officer held high enough so the young man can reach his small arm through the peephole in the door. And me standing there wondering what the hell is going on. Twin Peaks was all the rage back then. I felt like I was in a David Lynch film. Anyway, before too long, the young man with his arm of the perfect diameter and length reached the latch of the deadbolt and unlocked the door. I invited them in. We chatted for a bit, and I learned that the young man had once lived in the very apartment I was moving into. "So, this building is haunted," one of them said. I think it was the officer. They were both super serious. And the building across the street, too. I'd heard about the old tavern across the street. I think it's been featured on a local news magazine shows that had a segment about local haunted buildings. A man with a top hat would appear and scare the kitchen staff. Dishes would go flying for no reason. So it didn't surprise me, too, to hear these local guys talk about ghosts and stuff. It's a Greenville thing. I didn't even feel scared. It was just one of those, "Oh, okay, thanks for letting me know," kind of things. I didn't even ask what they'd seen. I don't know why. It was getting late, and I had to get back to my unloading and unpacking. The officer had to get back to work and bring the young man back home. We said our goodbyes, and that was it. Later that year, a young woman moved into the apartment next door, and we became friends. One day, she came over to me and said, "My apartment is haunted. I am sure of it." I never told her about what happened when I moved in. None of it. It was just a feeling, she said. Nothing in particular. Her cat would freak out a lot, but mine did too. They'd look around like they were looking at something that we couldn't see. But cats do that, don't they? I spent a couple of years in the apartment. I got myself physically and mentally healthy, nurtured some hobbies, found some new friends, and started dating a very sane and kind boyfriend. It was a wonderful time in my life, and it all happened with the sound of the waterfall in the background. I'd run into the police officer from time to time, and we'd exchange pleasantries. Pleasantries. He even stopped me for speeding one time, but he let me off with a warning. He never asked if I had more incidents, and you know what? There weren't any. Until the day I moved out, the scene was the same as the day I moved in, only in reverse. I was moving boxes from my apartment down the stairs and into my car. And along the way, I got to the top of the stairs, reached for the doorknob, which it turned, but the deadbolt was locked. Luckily, after that first day, I learned my lesson and never left my apartment without my key. I unlocked the door and laughed and said, "Ha, you thought you got me." Sorry, I told you the incident was terribly dramatic, but I don't know. I think there was something going on, some interaction that was supposed to happen. I think that psychic was right. I needed to be in the apartment. I also do think someone or something was messing with me. Not malevolent or anything. They just wanted me to know that they noticed the comings and goings in the apartment. I always wanted to go back and knock on the door to ask the current tenant if anything ever happened to them. Maybe one day I will. It has been an all-around eventful day. When I say eventful, I mean there have been too many people stopping by, the cat being in an all-around antsy mood, my husband being very sensitive to our friendly ghost, and I myself was teetering on the edge of massive frustration, knowing the only way I was going to get a little peace of mind, I was going to have to speak to our resident ghost. As I lay in our bed with Jacob, my husband, whom, by the way, sometimes sees her, I can usually feel her presence. To me, she has a sweet, motherly presence with a strong protectiveness towards the living things in this house. All together, there is the two of us, Jacob and I, and Jackie, with our friend and roommate, Randy, our three-legged, handy, capable, year-old white and gray cat dude. Plus, the newest member of our household, Our friend's pregnant lab bull mastiff mix dog was affectionately called Mama. Ma'am, I don't know what exactly to say. I want to begin with a thank you for not scaring the bejesus out of me and being so nice to dude. I know he likes hanging out in the other room with you. And I also thank you for not being a scary figure when Jacob sees you. We really appreciate that. I say in a soft, kind of feeling stupid for talking to the couch that's across the room, the empty couch that Jacob had been staring at, and softly in my ear telling me what she is doing. She is sitting there looking at you, fading in and out a little. She is wearing an 80s style women's clothing. She has brown hair and she is just sitting there. As I begin talking to her again, I have been thinking a lot about a few of the things you have done in the last few months since we moved in. And I know as well as you do, there are some people, our roommate Randy, has had come over and before too long they begin to cause a lot of problems. And I have noticed you seem to be quite protective of the household members currently residing here. Stopping for a few seconds, taking great care in how I wanted to word the request I was going to make of her. Can you find a way to give us a sign when one of those people are going to start causing problems or have ill intent towards us? As soon as the words came out of my mouth, I realized how stupid I am asking her to give us a sign without knowing what it would be beforehand. I looked at Jacob with a little grin I instantly knew. And he instantly knew what I was thinking. He smiled as if he agreed with me and then said, "Maybe you could knock something over." There were suddenly three knocks on the door. Jacob got up and started heading for the door, saying as he went, "Who is it?" And then there was a huge crash, things clanging to the ground and Jacob and I yelling together, "What the fuck?" The shelf just fell off the wall. "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I am." "Who was it?" "Ben." "You know, there is no way for that shelf to do that by itself, and I wasn't even in the entryway yet. I hadn't made it to the microwave. Didn't I ask her to give us a sign?" "Well, I believe we got it. We always knew he was trouble. We all came to a realization and agreement. She is not evil. She is protecting us from bad people in her way to do that. Make something dangerous drop towards that bad person, narrowly missing them." As a reminder, this happened when I was about 3 or 4 years old. I know I was pretty small because the top of the mattress on my parents' bed was about eye level. That'll be relevant in a second. I slept in a little room that was attached to my parents' bedroom via a door. At some point one night, I had a bad dream, so I got up and opened the door into my parents' dark bedroom, where they lay sleeping, walked a few steps to their bed, and asked to get in bed with them. They drowsily agreed. Directly across from me and across the bed was another door that led to the hallway. Right after my parents mumbled that I could climb into their bed, this door opened. And a dark figure entered. I don't remember precise details on how it looked. The room was dark, and so was the figure. About the size of an adult male. What I remember is the feeling that came over the room when this thing entered. Sheer dread. It was as if the entire atmosphere shifted to something oppressively evil all at once. So I was on one side of the bed, and it was on the other. Soon as it entered, it began making its way around the foot of the bed towards me. When I say the entire atmosphere shifted when it entered, here's what I mean. I began screaming and crying and realized I couldn't move my body. As much as I wanted to climb into my parents' bed, I was stuck in place. As if that wasn't terrifying enough, I saw the dark forms of my parents' bodies simply lay there, not moving or responding. I realized they couldn't hear me or see what was happening to me. That was perhaps the most horrifying part. The realization I was isolated with this thing in another realm they couldn't reach, it all felt intentional. This entity slowly made its way around the bed towards me while I was stuck there, screaming my head off. When it turned the corner to the side of the bed I was on, it reached a few feet away from me, and then it disappeared. Instantly, I could move again. The relief, and I leapt into my parents' bed. I still don't know what the fuck this was. I know it felt real, like I was awake, and it was far too real. I had nightmares as a child, and as scary as some of them were, this was different. It was the most powerfully evil thing I have ever encountered, and it was extremely memorable because of how terrifying it was. I was not a sleepwalker, and I was only a 3 to 4 year old child. I could never have conceived of this on my own. So if it was a hallucination, I still feel like it was some evil thing that was creating it. After this, I saw other creepy stuff as a kid, although none of them this dreadful. The next day, I told my parents about the dark figure. My mom brushed it off as a nightmare, but my dad took it more seriously. Later, I found out he had also had a terrifying vision as a child, and how angry he was at whatever this presence was. Thankfully, I never saw it again, or at least not in that form. A question I can never answer is, was the door to the hallway still opened when we all got up in the morning? Just wanted to share an incident that happened to me and my brother back in the summer of 2000. I was 8 years old at the time and my brother was 13. Context: at the time, my uncle was a major in the armed forces and was posted with his family to a small town in southern Pakistan. As we were in the middle of our summer break, me and my family were invited to stay at my uncle's place for a week, a long overdue chance to catch up with my cousins and spend some good old-fashioned family time. Just to describe the general layout of the house is a better way. Army allocated houses are slightly unorthodox. They comprise of a small two-bedroom home surrounded by large grounds on the front and back. The ground in the front was where all of us would play football or just generally hang out, and the ground in the back had a moderately sized pumpkin patch, a laundry unit, the kennels where the two dogs were kept, and most interestingly, a small enclosure with a gate on it, which was locked with a large padlock. Curious about the enclosure, and having tried and failed to unlock it, me and my brother asked my uncle about what was inside, to which he politely told us that it was not important, and under no circumstances should we try and get inside or fool around with the lock. Now, dear reader, do you think we abided by his instructions? Obviously not. Me and my brother roped in our cousins to try and get that lock open. But the damn thing couldn't budge. But the damn thing wouldn't budge. On top of that, there wasn't any crawl space or any crevice about the gate that I could climb on top of to get inside. It was like a sealed box in a sense. Making matters worse, we kicked the gate, hit the lock, whatever we could find. But nothing. By the end, we were sweaty and tired and just headed inside before sunset. The incidents. Remember when I said we went for this trip in the summer? The house had only one air conditioner. My grandparents slept in that room. It was unbearably humid indoors, so all of us decided to sleep in the front lawn outside on traditional jute beds called manjis. This is pretty common, especially back in the day when air conditioners were not common in the middle-class households. Me and my brother shared one manji, and our two cousins completely oblivious as to what was about to happen to us. I remember this as if it were yesterday. I abruptly woke up to see everyone asleep around me, and at the foot of my bed was this massive, shadowy silhouette standing there, looking straight at me. There were no features to this being, no face, no mouth, but just an intense darkness where the eyes would have been. It was probably 8 to 9 feet tall. It towered over us. It didn't move. It didn't make a sound. It was just watching me. I remember being completely paralyzed for at least 2 minutes. I just lay there looking at this thing. I felt this warm dampness spreading down my leg. I wet my pants. I mustered some courage to try and wake my brother up, poked and prodded him until he jolted awake, cursing under his breath, looked at the being, and he shouted, "Mom! Mom!" waking up the whole family. This thing in just a flash bolted towards the back of the house, but not as if it was running away. All we could see was a long shadow, visible enough in the dim moonlight, and a little bit of lighting outdoors, just flying off. My dad and uncle ran to the back of the house chasing this thing. The rest of the family eventually followed, and what we saw blew our minds. The door to that enclosure, the one we had been trying to open all day, was wide open. The padlock was on the floor, and inside was an unmarked grave. What followed was a thorough verbal bashing from my dad and uncle, who explained that the grave was that of a local elder and local requested to keep it locked at all cost, as there was a dwelling of jinns that was present to guard the grave. Our goofing around disturbed the entity and resulted in the paranormal occurrence. On a side note, I am not particularly religious, never have been, but this incident has always shaken me up because I never been able to rationalize it. I believe I've only ever had one paranormal experience, and it was when I was 10 and spent the night at a friend's house. I wasn't super close with this girl, so I only ever stayed the night once. She was a relative of one of my neighbors, who was a family friend. Anyways, her and her mom were aware that their house was haunted. The story that the girl told me was that a 14-year-old boy was murdered on the staircase. There was a cold spot on the stairs that her dog would always lay on, and I felt a difference in temperature myself when I moved my hand from one side of the stair to the other. I tried to Google a news story or something recently to substantiate that story, but couldn't find anything. But I also don't know how long ago it would have been when it happened. She also showed me that when she would open her bedroom door, which opened inward into the room, a cold burst of air would come back at you, which I felt like I felt at the time, which I felt when she showed me at the time. Another thing that often occurred in their home was a TV changing channels by itself, and even the voices of people talking would change. When I was there, the TV channels did not change by themselves, but the voice thing didn't happen. I don't believe she was messing with me with the channel changing, because she didn't have the remote in her hand or anything. The next part was the main aspect of this whole paranormal experience that has really stuck with me throughout the years. I should mention I'm 23 now. The next day, after spending the night, I was sitting in the living room talking to her and her mother, and in between the dining room and the living room, there was a shelf that was built into the wall that I was sitting perpendicular to. This plastic duck figurine was sitting on the shelf when all of a sudden flew off the shelf and hit the wall in front of us. It was as if someone smacked it off the shelf, and it definitely didn't just fall. I was absolutely gobsmacked while her mom was just like, "Oh yeah, that's the ghost." And they were both completely not fazed. It's also worth noting that my aunt lived in the same house prior to them living there. and also claimed the house was haunted. Although I don't remember what she had told me about her experiences, I don't see her very often, but the next time I do, I'd like to ask her more about that. I haven't had any significant experiences that I would claim to be paranormal since then, and I'm kind of curious to why not, but I am a firm believer in the paranormal just from this one night in that house.